Before we start, it's important to say that the opinions expressed in the Shutter Sports podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. And as always, whether you agree or disagree, we invite you to join the discussion on Instagram at Shutter Sports Media or Twitter at Shutter Sports M.
Welcome back to the Shutter Sports podcast. I'm your host, Eli, and today I'm joined by
Cam Sterling,
Austin Terry,
Julian Rose,
and Lucky Roberts.
On today's episode, we will be discussing the NBA All-Star Weekend from good, the bad, and the ugly.
From the little leagues
to the pros,
this is your weekly sports show.
Welcome to the Shutter Sports Podcast.
Take a seat at the table as we discuss.
Here's how today's episode will work. We'll go around the table, give our highlights of the weekend, rant about the worst parts, and give our opinion on what needs to change. To kick things off, we're going to be talking about the best parts of the weekend. So I'll hear from you first, Cam. What did you love about this weekend?
Okay, I'd say the best part of the weekend has got to be the three-point contest. With the progression of shooting in the NBA, and the scores just constantly being raised each and every year, it's become the most exciting part of the weekend, especially this year with four people tying at 26, one at 25, and one at 24. It's almost the closest you can get, honestly, with three out of those six people making it. Just the more three-point shots get included into the game of basketball and as it progresses over time, it just makes a three-point contest even better the higher the scores get.
I see what you're saying. The three-point contest was exciting to watch, but I just want to specifically highlight Sabrina versus Curry. Mm-hmm. I think it brought everybody into the game. It highlighted the WNBA and brought some very positive light despite her losing. Her score would have sent her to the finals of the actual three-point contest, and I hope next year they can incorporate somebody like Caitlin Clark and further develop this WNBA-NBA energy. Does anybody else have anything to say about the three-point contest?
I just think like the NBA WNBA energy in the past, it felt almost forced, right? Like where they would add players in the celebrity game and they would add players just whenever they can. And I'm all for, you know, spreading the WNBA. And I think they really, really did a great job with this one, having just a really good product of Sabrina and Steph going right at it. And it was competition and it showed how great the WNBA really can be. And I think so many more eyes are going to be on the WNBA because of that and because of the success of this event.
Yeah. Further about that, like little WNBA section, I think they should maybe even incorporate that into the skills competition, have a team WNBA just to further highlight their skills compared to the NBA players, especially in a format where it's not like they're facing off directly against each other, because obviously certain things will come into effect there. But I think having them in the three-point competition and maybe even seeing them next year in the skills competition could be a really good look for the WNBA. Austin, what was your favorite part about the weekend?
It was actually the Steph versus Sabrina battle. It was fun to watch. It was great for both sides. It didn't settle an age-old debate, but it kind of lighted a new fire into, okay, they, like, people who were ignorant before saying, oh, they're not as good, blah, blah, blah. They went out and proved that they can go head-to-head with the best. Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, had to work for it, and it was... Yeah, it was an amazing thing, fun for both sides, and I hope that continues with different people and see if they change it up for like the reigning champion, so Steph versus someone else, and if Steph loses, have the WNBA player defend against an NBA player and so forth.
To add on to Sabrina versus Curry, I mean, Sabrina, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure she had more than any finalist, right, in her three-point contest against Curry, I'm pretty sure, or like... She would have tied.
So there was a four-way tie of 26. She also scored 26. So it would have sent her into the playoff where they had half the amount of time to decide who would go on into the next round.
Yeah, so how about that, you know? That's the best way to show the talent that there is in the WNBA. But for me personally, I would have said Sabrina versus Curry, but since Austin said it, I won't repeat what was already said. I've always been an advocate for this event during All-Star. It's the rising star game. People that are there actually want to play. They're always playing hard. So for me, I just want to see people playing hard at the All-Star game. And just the All-Star events. And the Rising Star game just brings that to me. I love the format. I like the way that there's a tournament and there's a certain a number of time that they have to score to win, and then they move on. Players from the G League are there. People really want to play compared to the All-Star game. We could maybe talk about it later, probably in one of the worst parts. But I think that for me, it was one of the highlights. And I always say to people, you have to watch this. It's so fun.
Yeah, I think it's a little funny that Scoot Henderson will get to be in the Rising Star game three separate times, as you get to play as a G Leaguer, a rookie. He'll probably play there in his second year, as I don't imagine he'll be an All-Star quite yet. But I do like the format they have. The players do seem to be playing harder, and it was a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, in the first game especially, I was really worried because I am also like a huge fan of the Rising Stars game. I'll watch it like even more intently than I do the actual game because I don't really get much from watching the actual game. Like, sure, like it's cool to see some players shoot from three, but anyway, this is the best part. I'm not going to go into that just yet, but I really do enjoy the Rising Stars game. But at the beginning, the first game, other than Benedict Mathurin, it was a lot of, you know, Keontae George letting Ben Mathurin get straight to the basket. And I was worried that it was going to seep into the rest of the event. But you know, the target score really forces players to get on their stuff, right? And that's something that I think is something that can be done for the actual game.
Yeah. Also, just let's go back to the three-point contest for a second, because it's important to mention that Sabrina actually shot from the NBA line, which is quite a bit further back. I think how many feet? 2 feet?
Roughly, yeah.
I think roughly 2 feet back from the WNBA line. And we also should talk about Kenny, the analyst, and his thoughts throughout the competition, because they were quite a bit misogynistic, and I don't think he faced as much backlash as he should have.
Yeah, well, all over Twitter. I can't exactly quote him. I don't think I would want to. It was pretty disgusting. But, like, he really... And this is, I think, an issue that a lot of people have when they're covering the WNBA, is that they view it as something that has to be compared to the NBA, right? Where it's entirely its own thing and it's an amazing product to watch. But the constant comparison is just, it's punching down, it's kicking down, and there's no need for it. And that's something that I really dislike. And I think, you know, like you said, Kenny the Jet Smith should really be, you know, penalized for that or something.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's not verbatim, but I believe he said something like it would be more fair if Sabrina shot from the WNBA three-point line, which he said this after she literally tied every single other NBA player in the men's three-point contest at the same line. I don't think he thought about what he was saying as he said it, and it came out totally wrong.
Yeah, and I think what he needs to realize is long some of the other analysts around him, and even I'm pretty sure Sabrina said it, is shooters shoot. Two steps back isn't that much of a difference for a true shooter, which she is. And yeah.
I mean, for me, for Kenny, it's that he like doubled down so many times.
So many times.
Like,
you have to realize.
Yeah, like, I think he mentioned it. Like, he kept just saying the same thing over and over. And we're like, okay, bro, you have to stop talking like this. Seriously. Like, I went on Instagram and I was like, am I the only one seeing this? I would look at, like, comments of the event and people were bashing him. Like, people realized, as they should. And it was horrible. Really not. I think it's fair to say that something has to change for him on the panel. Either he's not there or he has to get stuff regulated, because I think it's easy to say that he might not be there next year on that event for sure.
Yeah, when guys like Charles Barkley, who have so many hot takes, say so many wrong things, have shows on CNN now and are like seemed trustworthy, like there's something wrong with Kenny. Like, there's something wrong there. We're going to move on to segment two. And we're going to talk about the worst parts or our least favorite parts of the weekend. And I'm just going to lead it off because I have a feeling we're all going to say the exact same thing. Raise your hand if your least favorite part was the actual game itself. That's only three of us. So I'm going to guess the other two was skills competition. Skills competition and...
Dunk contest.
Alrighty.
Dunk contest, man.
So let's do a little bit of a debate here. We'll have me, Julian, and Lucky talking about how we thought the game was the worst part. We'll have Austin talk about how the dunk competition was the worst part. and Cam on skills competition. And I think we'll do it in order of how things played out. So we'll start with skills competition from Cam.
Okay, moving from the bracket format of the skills competition was the worst move the NBA could have ever made. Having this stupid little team event going 3 against 3 against 3 with scores after every round is absolutely ridiculous. It's child's play. These are all-stars facing rookies, facing just the host team. Either find better teams or don't make it too obvious, you know? Like, have people who don't normally play together be a team for an all-star competition, not just have Benedict Mathurin, Miles Turner, and Tyrese Halliburton, who play on a daily basis, do competitions together. Make it original. And, like, nobody even tries in this competition anymore. Like, Scottie Barnes was the highlight just because he dribbled off his foot, shot a half-court shot backwards, and made it the highlight of the entire competition. It's stupid.
And Anthony Edwards shooting with
Anthony Edwards shot with his left hand. What is going on in this competition?
Yeah, like,
it's the kickoff competition to All-Star Saturday night, and you start off with Anthony Edwards shooting left-handed from three? It's ridiculous. It used to be like Karl Anthony Towns taking down all the guards in the skill competition. Bam Adebayo following up, having two back-to-back big man wins, which was like not supposed to happen. You were not expecting that stuff to happen. But having scores after every night and having the highlight be Scottie Barnes airballing a backwards half-court shot is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think right now their only incentive to do well is money. And obviously, all of these guys are already generationally wealthy. Like, money doesn't affect them. I do kind of miss the single-player format. I don't love the teams. But I still think there were much worse things to happen this weekend. And we'll get to that. I'll bring it over to Austin to talk about the dunk contest. And then three of us to talk about the game itself. And then we'll decide after that if our opinions changed. Over to you, Austin.
Man, the dunk contest should just be removed completely at this point. It's the dunks are getting so, like, uncreative. They're getting boring. And it's like Jaylen Brown puts on a glove. Like, I love Jaylen Brown. Puts on a glove and dunks with his left hand just because his left hand's generationally bad. Like, that isn't skillful. That's something you should be able to do as an NBA player.
Look at me. I do something bad, but I did it in the dunk competition.
Hey, I had a Michael Jackson glove on.
Look at me. I jumped over somebody who's 4 feet tall sitting down.
Yeah, like Shannon Sharpe said, he's 3'5" already. You put him down and he's already like, he's what, 1'5" after that?
Like, he literally talked about like going into the finale, he's got some good dunks in his bag. Brings out a Michael Jackson glove. What the hell?
It's yeah, like, I will say there were some incredible dunks. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can still do something original after 30, 40, 50? How long has the dunk contest been going on?
Like, I think it started
50
like
or 60.
70.
It's 50.
It started in the ABA, I believe.
It started in the ABA. Yeah, yeah. Because Dr. J.
Wasn't it 76, the first one?
No, because Dr. J would have been doing it in the ABA.
1976, the
check
first one.
Check
NBA.
ABA.
First NBA.
Yeah,
first
the
NBA.
ABA.
But we're saying ABA with Dr. J.
Oh, but it was considered the ABA. You're right.
Oh, no, it says 96 as well.
Yeah.
76.
Yeah.
All right, either way.
But it was the ABA.
It's been going on for a ridiculous amount of time, and to do something original is impressive. And Mac McClung managed to do that with his little hands off the ball, connect, reverse, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was super impressive. How did that not get a 50? Like, please explain to me how that's a, what, 47 they put it at?
Everything in the dunk contest is just—it's just so like gone. It's passed.
They need a rubric.
If they had
a proper rubric, I think you could bring back the dunk competition. But if they keep it in the same format it is, I will agree. It was maybe the second worst part, third worst part of the weekend. Mm-hmm. But now we'll take it over to the game itself and the issues we saw there. And I'll start with Julian.
I mean, man, it's. I feel like it's like this every year. We had some good All-Star games in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. But man, this year was just no heart, no defense. Just like they did, it was a scoring record, I think. 276
three-pointers.
70, like, come on.
For one team.
No defense whatsoever. It's just it's not entertaining seeing people just it's like a shoot around. It's like just watching a shoot around with people walking around on the court.
It's
almost embarrassing, honestly. Like they have, and also they took a huge step back, taking away the target score. I was like, there's no way they just
I was surprised about that.
Yeah, that was one of the that made players play harder, right? And it didn't help that it was a blowout, maybe like what 30-point game or like 20-point game in an All-Star game.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously like they won't try or like cuz we won't win the game, but they have to change stuff up. They have to put something to win. I don't know what they have to do. Actually, I have an idea. We'll talk about it later, but on to you guys.
You go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a similar boat. That was my main issue, but I think that's more of a league issue as a whole, as we see scoring get like higher and higher every single year. And I think really it's boring to me. Like, I don't want to see people, like, obviously making something that's really hard look easy is a really good thing, but scoring shouldn't be a given, right? You can't have, defense needs to actually be some sort of like a skill in the game, right? It can't be who can score the most, because it is boring. And I think that's something that's shown in the All-Star game. And another thing I thought about is, I wonder if like Adam Silver was sort of like, you know, because the players, they don't want to get injured, right? And I think that's the main issue why they don't want to play. Like, obviously you can give them more money. More money's not going to do anything. And obviously maybe you can give home court advantage. I don't think that would be enough of a incentive either. I think you need to like
home court in the finals. Like MLB format?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's the only way to fix it.
You think that would get the players to play harder?
It's a player decision. They're choosing to not play hard. We look at 1993. This was Michael Jordan's era. There was 62 fouls in the All-Star game. We look at 2003. Guys like Kobe, super intense, 37 fouls in the All-Star game. 2024, there was a total of 3 fouls, and some of them were questionable fouls. If they're not playing defense, obviously the score is going to be high. They're not trying. And I think the only way to get them to try is that home court advantage in the finals, like we've seen the MLB do in the past.
I think one of the reasons they're not playing hard as well is because the All-Star break, it's a break for them. They're playing, what, 81? How many
82.
Games? 82 games a season? That's a lot on them. And I think they're just taking it as a rest. You know, you get to play basketball, get your name out there. There isn't. Yeah, there's no incentive to actually try in the All-Star game. They don't see it as a reason to push harder, play harder, when majority of those guys in the All-Star game know they have playoffs after the second half of the season, considering they keep doing well. And they probably just don't want to play hard because their bodies just don't want to shut down on them when it matters.
Like, I don't know, just out of curiosity, in the past when they were playing harder, how many injuries did we see in the All-Star weekend or the All-Star game itself? Like, I don't feel like it was a lot. You're a professional athlete. Your body's supposed to be able to play 82 games a year. Why not make it 83? Like, at peak athletic condition, these guys shouldn't be worried that much about injury. Like, obviously, I don't want to see hard fouls. It doesn't need to be like that. But there's a certain level of play that you should be able to expect from these guys.
Oh, for sure. But put yourself in their shoes, right? If you are an NBA player, right? If you are given all these things, all these millions of dollars, every single year you play, you're going to want to extend your career as long as you possibly can. And if it's an option on the table where you can have your bargaining power be that effective to the point where you can say, look, I don't want to play 30% of the games, you're going to take that anyway, right?
I don't think that should be allowed. Like, I like with the MVP just in general this year, like the league MVP, you have to play a certain amount of games, but that level should be raised again. Like,
I'm just saying, don't blame the players, blame the league.
I mean, unless it's a major injury, that this is the reason they give you 5 days of no games before and after All-Star weekend.
And extend that if you need to for these guys to play harder, because the All-Star game is going to die soon. Like, if they don't make a change, eventually people are going to get pissed off enough. And, you know, Mac McClung, his dunk competition last year, I think, kind of saved it. I think Sabrina and Curry this year kind of saved it. They need to add something, though, in the future for it to just be something enjoyable for each night of All-Star weekend.
Yeah, they can't keep bringing out Mac McClung like the circus every time it comes an All-Star break. Like, hey, let's bring him out. He's not going to save it. He's very good at it. But he's not a long-term viable option for the All-Star game.
Well, it's too formulaic. Like, you look back, and all of these things have been in place for so long, the dunk contest and the three-point contest, and there's a limited amount of things you can do in that to make it entertaining. I want a push-up competition. Who can do the most push-ups in the NBA? Yeah, that would be fun, right? Like, give me some new things, right? Like, I don't understand why we have to do the same things every year. I know that history is important. Do that and more. I don't get, like... Right? Who can ride a bicycle? Who can ride a unicycle?
I want to see them play 2K like the NFL did during COVID for the Pro Bowl. They were just playing Madden, and it was the funniest thing I've ever watched in my life.
Something I would be curious to see is like a 1v1, 2v2, 3v3 tournament. I feel like that gives the players an opportunity to not even necessarily like play harder, but it's already such a different version of basketball in that scenario where you're kind of forced to play harder. Like, you have to lock up your guy. I think it would be really interesting to watch. I think Julian has something to add about this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at All-Star games this year in the past, when players play harder is when they're in a 1v1 situation, because it's egos, right? You don't want to get cooked by your teammate. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You don't want to get cooked by another All-Star. You have to lock up. You don't want to get scored on. So if you do a one-on-one tournament, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, there's more space for them to do one-on-one scenarios, which will, in my opinion, create more defense and create more offense, because offensive players are going to try harder if there's better defense, right? So for me, they have to change something in the All-Star game, whether they take it out and they change it in a 3-on-3 tournament, or another format that they can think of, or just another event. You take out the skills contest. I think we should take it out at some point, because it's kind of redundant in my opinion. But you take it out, 3-on-3 contest, I think that would honestly be a breath of fresh air for All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, the thing with 1v1s are, like, people try so hard to win 1v1s on the park, practice, in-game even, but when it's televised, these guys are going to try their best to win this competition, unlike any other competition in All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, I like what you had to say about the one-on-one. Back to the 3v3, there's just a format I've thought out. Like, I'd love to see you get your three MVP candidates, and they do a draft for their two teammates, but they can't choose anybody on their team. I just love to see that. Like, you have to have guys from three separate teams. Like, maybe they've played together in the past, maybe they've played together in college. But I don't want to see guys exactly with chemistry of having a whole season, like we brought up about the skills competition. So we kind of talked about everybody's least favorite part of the weekend. We all made a point to why we thought it was. I'm going to have you each, I guess, yay or nay, what was the worst part of the weekend? Was the skills competition the worst part of the weekend?
Yay!
Nay.
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 Wow.
Was the dunk competition the worst part of the weekend?
Nay.
Yeah.
Nay.
Nay as well.
Nay. So I think we've all stayed in the same positions. And that's three people who think the actual game was the worst part, so that technically wins. Sorry to Austin and Cam. But let's hear from the
viewers.
I'd like to hear from the viewers and listeners on social media what they think. So make sure to go to Shutter Sports Media on Instagram and Shutter Sports M on Twitter to further this discussion, because I'm just curious to see what other people's thoughts were. This has been a really fun episode. Just to wrap things up, we talked about our favorite parts of the weekend, our least favorite parts of the weekend, and also how we thought they should fix the All-Star game. Thank you for joining us on the Shutter Sports Podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, and don't be shy to join the discussion on platform at Shutter Sports Media. Until next time, I'm your host, Eli, joined by
Cam Sterling,
Austin Terry,
Julian Rose,
and Lucky Roberts.
And this has been the Shutter Sports Podcast.
Woo!